Something I want you to know about Pastor Anderson. Some of you know him, you know, from the internet or preaching like that, but from someone who knows him personally, he's the real thing. He's not fake. What you hear in his preaching, that's who he is, and we're so glad he's here tonight. So Pastor Anderson, come on.
I'm a Bible-believing preacher. Something radical about what I preach. Our society's become radically wicked. Every pre-tribulation rapture preacher ought to be ashamed and shaking in his boots, because the battering ram of God's word is coming today to knock down that lying heresy.
The Bible said that if they don't have the Son, they don't have the Father. Oh, they prayed to the Father. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, Jesus said. And he said, whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. So they don't have the same God if they don't have the Father. No homos will ever be allowed on this church as long as I'm the pastor here. Never! I'm the man of God here. I meet the qualifications. I run this church. And if you don't like it, then get out.
Faith Forward Baptist Church started on Christmas Day 2005. I started attending in August of 2006. We met in Pastor Anderson's house. Much smaller church at the time. I loved the church. I loved Pastor Anderson. I grew tremendously in that church. I mean, leaps and bounds. It was awesome. Pastor Anderson baptized me in 2006. He led my wife to Christ in 2007. He got us married in 2008. Taught and trained me soul winning, preaching, sound biblical doctrine. Okay, like, he's been my mentor, my spiritual leader, my friend since 2006. The impact the Anderson family has had on my life has been tremendous, and I will forever be grateful for all they have done for me and my family and my ministry, everything. Pastor Anderson was always very generous with his time and his possessions. He's always extremely generous. I owe everything where I'm at right now to, one, the work of Pastor Anderson, but more importantly, Jesus Christ, okay, God. So God uses men, and he used that man greatly in my life as well as in the lives of many others, as probably as well as the lives of just about everybody sitting in this church right now.
Obviously, God used Stephen Anderson. God used him, and he did a lot of great things for God.
I honestly can say that if it wasn't for the church, Pastor Anderson, and just the whole family, all the struggles that we've gone through together between me and my wife, I mean, I don't even know where we'd be. I could say we would be fully lost.
It was the best decision probably I ever made, and I don't know where I'd be without Faith Forward.
You know, we definitely all really like Pastor Anderson.
I've never heard anybody preach like this. I've never heard the Bible preached this way.
Is this the best church ever, or what?
This is the best church in the world. That's the whole reason I moved here from so far away. If there was another option, I wouldn't have moved 2,800 miles.
Think about how Pastor Anderson influenced me. I wasn't going to pastor a church. I was basically just like, you know, it's not for me. I don't think God wants me to do it. Pastor Anderson said, well, do you think it needs to happen? I said, well, yeah, of course. Then you need to do it. That's what he said to me. You know what? From that day on, I'm like, well, you know what? If it's Lord willing, I'm going to do it.
Well, and I think one thing we all have to admit about Pastor Anderson, he is a very intelligent individual. And he's very smart.
I've publicly identified with Pastor Anderson's preaching. I love, he's brought me around on partially on the Jews. I'd already figured out some of that. He brought me around on the post-trib ideas.
They will continue to put out people in their churches that are good soul winners.
My family got here back in 2015 because of the soul winners coming to our door. You know, we wouldn't have found the church on our own. They had to actually come and bring us here. And here we are like 11 years later. So I'm just grateful for the soul winning that we're doing every week consistently. And we're reaching the whole city of Phoenix.
Because of his preaching, I became a soul winner. and I'm eternally grateful for that.
This is definitely the best church I've ever been to.
I want to say thank you, Pastor Anderson, for everything you've done for me and my family.
We love this church more than any church we've ever been to.
You know, all I can say is thank you, Pastor Anderson. You've changed my life for the better, and I appreciate everything you've done.
And I continue to come to Faith and Word because Pastor Anderson has that it factor.
Without a doubt, the number one church, not only in the state of Arizona, in the U.S., but in the entire world, without a doubt.
I thank Pastor Anderson for his incredible teaching and preaching.
In my opinion, it's the best church in the world.
I love the preaching, and I love, you know, the fellowship here, the environment.
I really can't thank Pastor Anderson enough for sharing all the wisdom that he shared with us over these 2 years.
I highly recommend his church.
Yep, you have Mrs. McMurtry with Gently Led Sisters on the phone.
I mean, the main reason that I run the channel is because, you know, a lot of people that have been saved by listening to Pastor Anderson's preaching.
I was invited to go to Faith Word Baptist Church, and I attended a Wednesday night service, and Pastor Anderson got me saved that night.
One of the things I'm eternally grateful for is that his preaching got me saved.
I got saved due to the preaching of Pastor Anderson.
Pastor Anderson helped me get saved.
He's a great soul winner, and I am actually saved because of him. We met when I was a university student in Munich many years ago. I was not saved, and he led me to the Lord. As a result of that, I've been able to lead many of my family members to the Lord, and that would have never happened had it not been for his influence in my life.
I know for me personally, Pastor Anderson has been a huge influence in my life and has helped me to grow and to become a better Christian. And Mrs. Anderson, Susanna, has been a great personal friend to my wife, and that's had a huge influence on her. And their family, they're just a great, great family. And we are so thankful for the influence they've had on us personally, but also our church, Verity Baptist Church, would not be the church that it is today if it wasn't because of Pastor Anderson and because of the influence of Faithful Word Baptist Church. And I'm just one testimony of thousands of people all over the world that could say the same thing, and many churches that would say that they are not who they are and where they are if it wasn't for the ministry of Pastor Steve Anderson and a Faithful Word Baptist Church. And I just want to thank you for being a friend. I want to thank you for your faithfulness. And I'm looking forward, and I know that all of us are looking forward to see what God has in store for Pastor Anderson, for his wife, and for Faithful Word Baptist Church. We know that the best days are yet to come, and they're going to do even greater works than they've done.
I'm Isaac Anderson. You already knew that. I'm Pastor Stephen Anderson's second oldest son.
You definitely know who my dad is, Stephen Anderson.
My dad is Stephen Anderson, and a lot of people know him because obviously he's kind of a well-known preacher, especially in like IFB circles, and he started that NIFB or whatever, that whole movement, which is like obviously like an affiliation of pastors.
My name is John Anderson. I am the third oldest son of Stephen Anderson, who is pastor of Faithful Word Baptist Church, has a whole big online following.
And I think he's the one who's the founder or leader or whatever of the new IFB, they call it.
You have a good childhood. I would have said overall aggregate, yes, absolutely. Were your parents good parents? Overall aggregate, I would have said yes.
And all in all, I think he was a pretty decent dad.
When the whole world really wondering? No, it was Roy making them bow down to her and follow her. No, but this actually killed the native prophet to wife, okay?
Just like Jesus Christ.
Hey, okay, you're talking.
My dad, contrary to what like opinion you might have from him, from his online persona, is not a very angry guy on the day-to-day. Growing up, he yelled at me maybe once a year. On the day-to-day, he's a pretty chill, laid-back, does-his-own-thing kind of guy.
I love my dad. I still love my parents, you know.
He rules the world with his day.
He was a pretty nice dad that actually did a lot of nice things for me growing up.
My dad would be like making jokes about how like when I was a little kid, I would like be behind some fake pulpit and like preaching a sermon against like SpongeBob or Spider-Man or something. You thought that was funny.
There's this funny story where like Shamu, like Peter sued like SeaWorld because Shamu was like a slave or something. Because it was not getting paid, and it was like only getting food or whatever, so it was getting sued. SeaWorld getting sued by Peter or something.
I remember so many times that he was nice and so many ways that he did always seem to look out for his kids and, you know, bring his kids on trips and involve his kids. And he always like had this thing of like, he works a lot, but he always wanted to be a part of his kids' life. And so he'd always have his kids with him at work.
The girls have ridden about 18 miles. The boys have ridden about 22. Feeling strong?
Yeah.
All right, what'd you see out there today?
A lot of houses, golf courses, and roads.
Miriam, having fun? How's your sherbet? Becca?
Yeah.
You have a few crashes out there?
We're three.
But who's counting, right?
She's counting.
Isaac, how's your ice cream?
Very good.
Still vanilla?
Yep.
All right, so we got a real mint here made with actual mint leaves. Tastes a lot different.
Salted caramel.
Salted caramel is a personal favorite for me as well. Miriam, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection.
Yay! The Bible says we're supposed to go get people saved and stuff. Serve God and get people saved. Help people around you. So we got to go serve God and all that stuff.
Hello, my name is John Anderson. I'd like to share a brief soul-winning testimony from the White Mountain Apaches. Soul-winning all day, we were about to leave, and this was going to be like my last door, and I walked up. There was a guy sitting on the porch. Well, I went up to him, and I offered him a tract, and I said, hey, Faithful Baptist Church is just out giving people the gospel. I'm like, are you interested? I'm like, if you're asked to sit, you're today, today, are you 100% sure you're a good heaven? He's like, no, I'm going to hell. I'm like, well, you know, you can go to heaven. He goes, well, I can't go to heaven. He's like, I've killed people. He's like, I'm not a good guy. I'm like, well, you know, it's not about being a good guy. It's not whether or not you're a murderer. It's about whether or not you have faith in you. Anybody can get saved. And you need, no matter who you are, you need to get saved. So finally, he let me show him, and I started showing him, and he started crying. And then he started saying, like, you know, I used to be addicted to drugs, and that's horrible. He wasn't on drugs anymore. He had this little girl with him, and he was just crying full time as I was giving him the gospel. And then I was able to get him saved, finally. I finally convinced him that he can be saved, too, and he prayed and got saved. Afterwards, he told me the reason why he was so shocked when I first showed up is because he didn't live at that house. He had no reason to be there. He said that the only reason why he was even at the house was because he had this feeling that he needed to be at the house and that something was calling him to the house. And you know what? He probably was, because if he wouldn't have been there, he wouldn't have gotten saved. I hope you've enjoyed these stories, and I hope they've encouraged you to go soul-winning yourself so you can get cool stories like this.
I have a goal to see as many people saved as I can. That's why I went to Phoenix, Arizona to start a church, knocking doors. Yes, that's how I started my church. Yes, that's how I'm going to continue to see God bless that church. Yes, door-to-door soul winning is what works in 2007. Yes, preaching the gospel to every creature. Not handing out a flyer. Not just inviting somebody to church, but opening my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Hey, that's what I'm talking about, soul winning.
I'm telling you the truth. I'm warning you that the people in this city who do not believe on Jesus Christ are on their way to hell. Whether I say it, whether you say it, whether anybody says it, it's the truth.
Right.
People who are not saved, the Bible says, will spend eternity in hell. Whether you like it, whether I like it or not. And you're watching a football game. You're watching a basketball game. You're watching a baseball game.
Right.
You're criticizing Pastor Anderson. You're criticizing other pastors who are standing up and preaching the truth because it's too negative. Because it hurt my feelings. because it turned off a visitor. Hey, I'm not here to turn on a visitor. I'm here to turn on some soul winners to go out and preach the gospel and win people to Christ.
Amen.
Every preacher in this country who stands up every week with the Word of God in their hand and a congregation of people before them ready to hear what the Lord has spoken, they are holding the fate of our country in their hand. What are they doing with it? Preaching lame sermons, being afraid of the faces of who's in the congregation, holding back on key truths because they're not sure how people are going to react when they hear it, censoring the sermon, sugarcoating the sermon, not preaching hard on soul winning, not leading the charge, not knocking doors, not preaching controversial things, but preaching things that people want to hear, softening the message. Look, there's a reason why our country is going through the things that it's going through. It's one word, sin. It's just disgusting, the soul winning condition of our nation. How the independent fundamental Baptists have just, they've just gotten away from soul winning. And then even the ones who claim to go soul winning, it's just an invitation to church. Just invite them to church. They go around, invite them to church, and walk away. And don't preach the gospel to every creature. So a lot of churches, are, even in this area, that even claim to have soul winning, now they're scaling it back to once a month, twice a month. We don't need less soul winning, we need more soul winning. They're scaling it back. They're turning it into a door hanger or an invitation. You know, I thank God that our church has existed for almost 11 years and we never just go out and invite people to church. We go out and we preach the gospel. And if you, and honestly, everyone who goes out soul winning at our church, and here's the thing, if you don't know how to give the gospel, you need to be a silent partner and get with somebody who does, right? Because we're not just out like Mary Kay or like a mailman or like some kind of a, you know, just door-to-door salesman or something. You know, we're not just inviting people to church. We're actually going out and preaching. This isn't Avon calling. This is the gospel being preached at every door. This isn't just an advertising campaign. It's about winning people to Christ. If I wanted to just drop off invitations to church, I'd hire the mailman to do that. I just wanted to deliver invites. I mean, a lot of these churches, they put the invite on the door and they run away. They're like a doorbell ditcher, like a teenager who doorbell ditches. They sneak up, put the invite, and run away as fast as they can so they don't actually have to face anybody and give the gospel. But anyway, it's really sad. We need a whole new batch of preachers in this country to lead God's people to knock. I mean, look, before the second coming of Christ, every door in America needs to be knocked again with the gospel, and again and again and again. But when you start talking about soul winning, and let me tell you, I'm a big believer in soul winning. I love soul winning. I think soul winning is the reason why our church exists in many ways. You know, we're here to be trained and equipped and edified and taught so we can go out and do the work of the Lord. And God said, go work today in my vineyard. And that vineyard is a harvest of souls that need to be saved.
There's going to be a soul winning marathon on Friday, January 20th in Minneapolis, Minnesota. We are just 4 days away from the Atlanta soul winning marathon. We are going to be having a soul winning marathon in Johannesburg, South Africa. Yes, you heard me right. We're going to be in South Africa.
And I know that there were some more people who showed up at lunchtime, so I think total we have over 110 people out today. And this morning we had a total of 78 people saved.
Hey everybody, Pastor Stephen Anderson here with Faith Forward Baptist Church in Tempe, Arizona, to give the report on the recent soul winning marathon that we did up in Portland, Oregon. We had a huge turnout for this event. In the past, we had about 60 people usually show up for these type of soul winning events. But at this one, we had 86 people come out soul winning. All right, so thanks again, everybody, for coming. This is actually the best turnout that we've had. This is, I don't know exactly the number, but we have about 70 people here so far. So to have this great of a turnout in this area is amazing. And so I'm really excited about the day. We're gonna do a lot of soul winning. We're gonna give out all these films, and I think it's gonna be awesome.
And I'm also really excited about the fact that there are so many people here that are new to soul winning.
I'm actually new to this. This is my first time ever being out soul winning.
I've never been soul winning before. This is our first time. We wanted to do it together.
I came here, you know, this is my first time, you know, going soul winning. So I want to learn from other people how they do it and be a silent partner.
So thank you so much for showing up. And the people that are new, because, you know, this is your chance to get a taste of it and get out there and do it. And that was the purpose of this event, was really just to get people out soul winning who've never been before. This is going to be, I believe, the greatest soul winning event that we've ever done in the history of our church. And so let's get out there and do it.
I just want to, first of all, thank everybody for coming. It's been great meeting all the new people that just came out of the woodwork. I mean, people we didn't even know were around. So I would encourage you. I mean, it's a lot of people that have never gone soul winning, keep going, you know, hook up with us and, you know, keep going soul winning. So I just want to thank you, Pastor and Paul, for coming out. Really appreciate it. I mean, your preaching like changed a lot of things in our lives. So everybody could probably say the same thing here. We really appreciate it. I mean, I started listening to your sermons like 2 years ago just from typing in Baptist preaching. It's like, who's this guy preaching with the door behind him? And I was like, what is this? And that was like, you didn't have a beard or anything like that. So I was like, and then I watched After the Tribulation, and you know, that was it.
Now, we've already been doing events like this all over the country. We had one in Dearborn, Michigan, Washington, D.C., Portland, Oregon. And these events have been really successful. We usually have about like 60 to 90 people show up to do soul winning. There's a lot of great camaraderie, just a great spirit at these events. We end up getting usually a ton of people saved. And in addition to all the soul winning that we're gonna be doing, we're also handing out 2,000 copies of Marching to Zion. This DVD we're gonna hand out from door to door as we go soul winning to the tune of about 2,000 copies. Who here is sitting in this auditorium right now and you were reached through watching one of these documentaries? That's how you ended up getting here. You're here because of After the Tribulation, New World Order, Bible versions, Marching to Zion. Yeah, look, there's like, what, 40, 50 people with their hands up. And you know what? When I go to events across the country, it's just person after person after person. It's thousands and thousands and thousands of people who that's how they found out about our church. Many of them say, I got saved from listening to the gospel presentation at the end of After the Tribulation. The book is called The Revelation of Jesus Christ. It is there to reveal things unto his servant, not to obscure things, not to be difficult to understand, but to make things easy to understand and to reveal them openly. The NIV is missing 16 entire verses from the New Testament. Don't tell me that the fact that our country today is filled with STDs isn't the judgment of God today, because it is. If you are taking birth control pills, you are inadvertently, literally killing your children. According to the Bible, we as Christians, whether we be Jew or Gentile, are the heirs of the promises made to Abraham.
At that moment, I'm shot by tasers.
Think about what a wicked person pretends to be a Baptist pastor while openly denying that Jesus is the Son of God.
And you're just an uneducated bumpkin because my apostle of my sci-fi religion is so much smarter than you.
No, he thinks pedophilia is fine and that teaching the Bible is child abuse. There is no other country in the world that even comes close to importing this much merchandise. And so it could only be said of the United States. So he wants dudes who are attracted to the same sex working with our kids. He wants to bring them in as a children's worker. That's always been the goal of this movement. We need to realize that the Hindus are not saved. Why does man even want to have a life that never ends? Well, because the Bible tells us that those who are not saved have a fear of death. They play a Nintendo game called Love Plus, in which players conduct a relationship with an anime girlfriend. I'm sure that Iceland was a much better place
when you actually gave reverence to the God of the Bible. You're not advancing. Well, you're going down the toilet, buddy.
Going to the homes of Buddhist people, you'll see all manner of idolatry, molten images, graven images. This is a big part of the religion.
So we're here at the Tomb of Lazarus, which commemorates one of the greatest miracles that Jesus ever performed when he brought Lazarus back from the dead after 4 days.
When you're reading the Gospel of John, this is the event that ultimately leads to the arrest and crucifixion of Christ.
We got somebody saved with no English.
Wow.
100% Greek.
Nice.
The guy had a lot of patience.
Why did God destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? Because they were filthy homosexuals.
Are you the judge?
God is the judge.
Oh, why do you preach about homosexuality so much? Why do you keep bringing that up? Why are you still fixated on that? Why are you bringing it up? Hey, because it's being crammed down our throat every stupid day.
The versions that came before the King James pretty much said the same thing as the King James, whereas these modern versions are saying something dramatically different.
The King James Bible uses the word hell 54 times. I mean, when you read the Old Testament in the NIV, there's not even one mention of the word hell. You don't even read the word hell in the NIV until you get to the book of Matthew. Now, supposedly, these new versions are being written so that they'll be easier to understand. And yet, if we were to ask anybody on the street what hell is, they would be able to tell us that hell is a place of fire and torment. It's a place where people go after they die to be punished and to suffer. If we ask them what Sheol means, most people aren't going to know. What does the word Sheol mean?
Sheol? Sheol means a protective cover.
Say it again.
Sheol.
Say it again. What? Spell it out.
S-H-E-O. I'm not sure on that. No.
Okay.
No.
No.
No, I do not. No.
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 I don't know.
S what?
S-H-E-O-L. Sheol.
No. Oh, Sheol, no. Not.
Can't remember off the top of my head.
S-H-E-O-L.
Right.
I'm not sure. I've never seen that word.
No, I'm not so familiar with that.
Okay, yeah. Most people aren't familiar with that word. Do you think that those words are easier than the word hell?
No.
Pastor Anderson leads the Faithful Word Baptist Church, which is an ultra-conservative church that's made controversial headlines more than a few times.
Team 12's William Pitts explains how this prank could have ended deadly.
Let's get this out of the way. You probably don't agree with Steven Anderson. You might not even like him, but this was not a prank. Regardless of what he may say or preach, this could have ended with his family being shot by police.
The kids were pointing at a helicopter up in the sky. They were talking about a helicopter. They're saying, come out with your hands up. And of course, my wife couldn't have fathomed that they could be talking to her and our kids.
But they were. Phoenix police said they got a call of a possible shooting at the Anderson's home in Ahwatukee on Sunday.
There's knocking and knocking at my door. Finally, I hear a voice that says, Steve, this is the police, the Phoenix police. I thought it was my son joking.
There's a lot happening in the studio this morning. I see immigration officials just outside the studio. We are trying to find out what they are doing here because I know I don't have an interview with them. I don't know whether they are here for you, Pastor Anderson. We understand the way you had to get to Botswana is through Uganda, is that
Ethiopia.
It?
Ethiopia. Ethiopia.
You can't go through the UK?
No, I cannot go through the UK, cannot go through Johannesburg or Cape Town.
Because of your sentiments?
Well, because I've been banned from South Africa and the United Kingdom, because they're afraid of what I have to say.
Yes.
They're afraid of the truth.
Yes.
So they want to silence me.
I think the screening went great. We had a great crowd come out. Everybody seemed to like it. Everybody learned a lot.
Definitely tore the preacher rapture to shreds. And I hope a lot of pastors that will see this will see the falsehood that's present within that teaching, that it has absolutely no basis in scripture. And that, you know, Jesus Christ made it very clear that immediately after the tribulation is when the rapture is going to come. And the Bible makes it really clear to let no man deceive us that the day of Christ is at hand. So I definitely think it was a really hard-hitting documentary. And I look forward to seeing its effect on pastors.
The pre-tribulation rapture is a hoax. It's not real. It's not found in scripture. That this film would open their eyes to it, that they would study it on their own, and that they would go to their pulpits and preach it and teach it so that we can just, you know, create a new generation of Christianity that is open to this doctrine.
these strongholds, these false doctrines. How about the pre-trib rapture? That's a false doctrinal stronghold that's like a fortress. We need to take the battering ram of Matthew 24 and the battering ram of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and the battering ram of Mark 13 and the battering ram and just slam it into that thing, and it's going to fall someday. Amen. And it's already falling right now. Right now, every pre-tribulation rapture preacher ought to be ashamed and shaking in his boots, because the battering ram of God's word is coming today to knock down that lying heresy and to expose it for the lie that it is, and that it's never had any truth in it, and that they've never had one scripture to back it up. It's going to fall. It's going to fall in my lifetime. I want to watch it fall. I'm going to keep slamming this battering ram into it until it falls. Because that's what the Word of God's good for. And that's a really entrenched false doctrine. That's a deeply thought of and entrenched false doctrine. It's going to fall. And God's Word's going to bring it down. Oh, of course, there will always be people who believe every stupid false doctrine. But it'll fall amongst the people that matter. And that's all that matters. In Matthew 24, beginning in verse 29, that says, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect. And this is where the pre-tribbers will say, oh, that's the Jews. But hold on a second, that makes no sense with the context. We already disproved that. He's going to gather the Christians. So let's see, Christ in the clouds, trumpet sounds, gather the Christians. I wonder what that is. It's the rapture, folks. You'd have to be blind not to see that this is the rapture. And so he gathers together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. But they say, well, it can't be the rapture, because we know the rapture's pre-trib. So, I mean, this is after the tribulation. That's got to be something else. So those that are pre-trib, when we're reading immediately after the tribulation, all of a sudden it's not the rapture, Christ coming in the clouds. But when we get to verse 36, it suddenly becomes the rapture again. And then we're down to 40 and 41, it's not the rapture anymore. Or if it is the rapture, then you better realize that the rapture in verse 40 and 41 is described the same way at the end of Luke 17. And when they ask where, it said, whithersoever the carcass is, thither shall the eagles be gathered together. So basically, in order to wrap your mind around this pre-trib rapture paradigm, it's like verse 27's the rapture, verse 29's not the rapture, you know, verse 36 is the rapture, and then verse 40's not the rapture, even though it's all talking about the same day. It's bizarre. I mean, I hope you understand what I'm saying. I'm trying to make this as clear and understandable as possible. Just two chapters, just Matthew 24, Luke 17, put them side by side. It's so clear. You know, it's after the tribulation, but all these churches are teaching is pre-trib, pre-trib rapture. Now, I didn't know the history behind it. I didn't realize that actually the majority of Christians throughout history have rejected the pre-trib rapture. That's actually a minority position that's more recent, okay? But in my world, that's what everybody believed, okay? And there is so much bad teaching out there about Israel in the end times, because unfortunately, most of our Baptist and evangelical churches have been infected by this cancer that is dispensationalism, Zionism, the pre-trib rapture, all of these wrong views about the end times. And so a lot of these things have been ingrained in people's minds, and it affects actually our world. And make no mistake, the God of Judaism is a false God. He's not the same God. People try to say, oh, well, they have the same God as us. They're just on the Old Testament. They're not on the Old Testament or the New Testament. They're on the Talmud, and they're worshiping the devil. You say, prove it. Okay, here's the proof. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son has the Father also. So if they don't have the Father, then who do they have? They have a God. They pray to a God. Oh, it's God the Father. No, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible said that if they don't have the Son, they don't have the Father. Oh, they prayed to the Father. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, Jesus said. And he said, whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. So they don't have the same God if they don't have the Father. Anyone who says they have the same God as we do is a liar and is contradicting clear scripture that says if you don't have the Son, you don't have the Father. Period. End of story.
You know, in Revelation 2 and 3, there's interesting verses which talk about them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan.
It's not hard to figure out who the synagogue of Satan is when you realize that there's only one religion in this world that uses synagogues, Judaism. It's not hard to figure out who they are when the Bible tells us that they say they're Jews and they're not. Not everyone in this world goes around saying, I'm a Jew. People who practice Judaism say that they're Jews. You say, well, Pastor Anderson, they say they are Jews, but they really are. No, because Romans 2:28 says, for he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. The Bible says, we are the circumcision which worship God in the spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. So in God's eyes, they're not Jews, they're the synagogue of Satan. The Bible says in Revelation 3:9, behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. Now, why would God have to make the synagogue of Satan to know that God loved the church at Philadelphia? Because the Jews think that God loves only them. They don't think that God loves the Gentiles in Philadelphia. And that's why God said, I'm going to make the synagogue of Satan to know that I've loved you. So let's just go back and go through the history quickly. First of all, children of Israel don't believe the Lord. They can't go in the promised land. Then they believe the Lord, they're allowed to go in the promised land. They turn away from the Lord, they're removed from the promised land into Babylon. They turn back to the Lord, they're put back into the promised land. They turn away from Jesus Christ, and they're removed from the promised land. And then in 1948, they all believed on Jesus Christ, and that's why they're back in the promised land today, because they have turned unto the Lord with all their heart. You know that isn't true. So how can people say, oh, God brought them back to the promised land? You know, frankly, I don't believe that the official version of the Holocaust is true whatsoever. From 1933 to 1938, believe it or not, the Zionists and the Nazis were working together. I mean, this is just openly known. In fact, here's a coin that was made to commemorate the partnership between the Zionists and the Nazis. It has the so-called Star of David on one side, and then it has the swastika on the other side. Because of the fact that they both have the same goal. The Zionists want the Jews in Palestine, and the Germans want the Jews, you know, to go anywhere except Germany, and that includes Palestine. You see, if you talk to those who practice Judaism, they will tell you that the most holy book in their religion is the Torah. And when they say the Torah, they're referring to the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. These are the most important books unto them, and they say, we believe every word of the Torah. But let me tell you something, it's a lie.
And how is it determined which is good and which is bad? And that's called civilization. People get together and determine you shouldn't steal. So civilization says that's bad. Okay, that's how you measure good. If you come from a society where stealing is good, that's how that civilization determines good from bad. If you don't steal, you're bad. If you do steal, you're part of us.
Is there an absolute right and wrong where just stealing's always wrong because God said so?
There's no absolute in my opinion.
Now, who's a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Messiah? He's Antichrist. And so it shouldn't surprise you that when they say that they believe the first five books, they're lying. Now look down at your Bible there in John chapter 5, verse 46. It says, for had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall ye believe
my words. Right there, Jesus Christ says, if you would have believed Moses, you would have believed me. So for someone to say, well, I believe those first five books of Moses, but I don't believe in Jesus Christ, that is a lie. And Jesus Christ said, you can't. If you believe Moses, you'd also believe me. And so God gives them a religion that says it's all about these animal sacrifices, it's all about the blood on the altar, it's all about the Day of Atonement, and it's all about these holidays and these feast days, and they all have sacrifices, and it's all about the Passover. And he gave them a religion like that, and then he kicks them out of their land, scatters them throughout all nations, allows their temple to be destroyed and never to be rebuilt again. Maybe God's not pleased with you. 90% of Jews will not even let you even get one Bible verse to them. They don't even want to hear Romans 3:23. Okay, but these are the two groups that people want to witness to the most, Jews and fags. You think that's a coincidence? I can tell you exactly why that is, because that's who runs Hollywood. No homos will ever be allowed on this church as long as I'm the pastor here. Never!
Those hateful words are from the mouth of a Tempe pastor preaching that God's word says that killing gay people is the only way to get rid of AIDS by Christmas. He says all gays are pedophiles. He says the biggest hypocrite in the world is the person who believes in the death penalty for murderers but not for homosexuals. Pastor Stephen Anderson has agreed to join us tonight for an exclusive one-on-one interview. Pastor Anderson, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me on.
Have you always hated gay people? Is it something your father taught you, or is it something that you came to on your own?
No, I haven't always. You know, I grew up in a Christian home, but it wasn't until I read the Bible cover to cover at age 17 that I discovered the truth of what the Bible really says, because a lot of passages don't ever get preached from the pulpit because they're simply not popular.
I have to be honest, when I heard your sermon, it sounded like the rantings of someone who was either a hate monger or a religious zealot. And I'm wondering, which are you?
Well, I'm a religious zealot. And, you know, I love the Bible. I love God's word. I believe that the law of the Lord is perfect. And, you know, Leviticus 20:13 clearly says, if a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with the woman, both of them have committed an abomination, they shall surely be put to death, their blood shall be upon them. And you know, as a Christian, I believe the Bible, and that's where I get my belief.
I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but did you say that if people perceive you as a hate monger or your church as a hate group, so be it?
Absolutely, I don't care how people perceive me. They called Jesus Beelzebub, they nailed him to the cross. And Jesus said that they hated him because he testified of their works, that their works were evil. That's what I'm doing, that's why they hate me. It's morally repulsive. It's just physically repulsive. It's just repulsive across the board. And we need to get a biblical view tonight of this subject and not be deceived by the world that we live in to tell us, oh, you know, we just need to just be more loving and everything's going to be fine. And you know what? That's funny, because that's what everybody's doing. It's not working. All the churches who are like, oh, let's just open our doors and just love everybody. Look, no queers allowed in this church. And all God's people said, there's no queers allowed. Is that even legal? Against such, there is no law. No homos will ever be allowed on this church as long as I'm the pastor here. Never!
Public restrooms can often be a hangout for the homosexual. One never knows when the homosexual is about. He may appear normal, and it may be too late when you discover he is mentally ill. So keep with your group, and don't go off alone with strangers.
Let me explain to you how they got 50 times as much AIDS, because it's right here in this article, which is a scientific article put out by two researchers, Bell and Weinberg, and they did a study of thousands and thousands of homos, just doing a study on their lifestyle, doing a survey, and here's what they found. They found that 28% of homos that they checked with, 28% had already had more than 1,000 partners.
Yesterday, the BBC just released their documentary that had a lot to do with our church. I think it was called Hate Preachers or something.
This fight has come to us, and you know what I say? Bring it on! Yeah. No homos will ever be allowed on this church as long as I'm the pastor here.
I'll put it this way. Any man who would have sex with another man would have sex with an animal.
About 5 or 10 years ago, a lot of the stuff that I preached, people thought it was too radical.
Now, to me, LGBT stands for let God burn them.
But now they're starting to see, oh, wow, he's right.
But you say, well, it's LGBTQ. Well, then you could say, let God burn them quickly.
I think what makes our church special is just how the preaching is totally unfiltered.
I don't have any advice for homosexuals except to put a bullet in your own head so that you don't molest my kids or anyone else's kids.
Uncensored, just raw Bible preaching. And that's what people are looking for.
The Word of God has power. That's why there's a lot of people who constantly fight me going in there and preaching to the young people. But I'll tell you something. They consider me radical, and I am not radical today. And don't you buy into that. And, you know, I don't like it when people from our church think, oh, yeah, our pastor's so extreme. He's so radical. That is not true. I'm a Bible-believing preacher. There's nothing extreme or radical other than what the Bible is saying being extreme. If you want to call it extreme or radical, then that's what you're saying about the Bible. Because there is nothing that I preach that is not in this book. And if there is, then tell me about it, and I'll stop preaching. I'll change it. I'll quit preaching it. Something radical about what I preach. Our society's become radically wicked. And so when a preacher just gets up and preaches a normal sermon, they think, hey, you crossed the line, buddy. No, I didn't cross the line. You removed the landmark. You moved the line. I'm not crossing the line at all. I'm preaching the Bible today.
Hey everybody, Pastor Stephen Anderson here from Faithful Word Baptist Church in Tempe, Arizona. Just wanted to give you a quick update on what's going on. Yesterday, Monday morning, I showed up at the airport for my flight, which was going to connect through London and take me to Johannesburg, South Africa. I checked in for the flight on Sunday. Everything was cool. I got there Monday, checked my bags. You know, gave my passport, went through security, did the whole process, had something to eat, and I'm sitting outside the gate less than an hour from departure, and all of a sudden I get paged by security, and they tell me that the United Kingdom has banned me from entering the country, and that I can't even so much as have a connecting flight in London. So not only am I banned from the United Kingdom, but I can't even go to the London airport. So anyway, I had to leave security, go down to the ticket desk and sort that out. They had to give me a whole new itinerary, you know, that would bypass England basically. And it was too late in the day to go yesterday, so I wasn't gonna be going until today. Well, of course, overnight, the message came through that South Africa has banned me from entering the country. So I had to reroute my whole plans to get to Botswana a different way. And it's not easy to get to Botswana without going through Johannesburg, but I did find a route through some other African countries. So over the next couple of days, I'm gonna be traveling through Africa, working my way to Botswana.
Stephen Anderson and members and or associates of his church are prohibited from entering the Republic of South Africa.
When I got banned from South Africa, now I have three times as many listeners in South Africa. Thank you for banning me, okay? Because now I have three times as many listeners overnight because you banned me and it was all over the news and everything like that. And I didn't really want to go to South Africa that much anyway, all right? I wasn't going there for my own benefit. I was going there to try to preach to them, to help them, to be a blessing to them. I'm not going there for myself. If I was going there for myself, I'd probably pick a country other than the rape capital of the world where you could pay somebody $50 to murder someone. Great place, folks. That place is a hellhole. Yeah, right.
okay? That place, and by the way, it's been cursed by God ever since they banned me even more. They've been having drought and famine and economic problems, murder, rape, pillage. It's all going up. It's all getting worse. How could God bless them when they have denied the preachers? It wasn't just me. It was a whole bunch of soul winners and preachers that were all going there to minister, and they banned all of us. Now, most countries only ban me, and then everybody else goes in. South Africa is the one country that banned all of us. I mean, they didn't just ban me. They banned Pastor Dave Berzins. They banned Pastor Roger Jimenez. They banned my wife. They banned their wives. They banned Paul Wittenberger's wife. I mean, they banned everybody and their wife.
Your top story at the half hour, the Department of Home Affairs has barred anti-gay American pastor Stephen Anderson from visiting South Africa. Minister Maluski Gerber made the announcement amid fierce opposition to Anderson's visit. Last week, representatives of the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender and intersex community handed Gigaba a petition with more than 60,000 signatures. Pastor Anderson has been accused of hate speech against the LGBTI community.
They say, oh, we're going to ban Pastor Anderson from entering South Africa. I already have entered South Africa. And the media has been helping me enter the minds of virtually every citizen by putting me on TV every day. I'm already there. Oh, we don't want to let this hate into South Africa. That's funny because you guys keep playing clips on the news of me saying hateful things. They're bringing it in. They can't stop the truth because you know what? It's God's will that the gospel be preached in every nation. And it's God's will that all nations be taught to observe all things that Christ commanded us. What, are they going to ban every Christian? Are they going to ban the internet or block faithfulwordbaptist.org from any South African computer users? Are they going to be like Red China or North Korea to make sure none of this dangerous hate speech comes into their wonderful country, the rape capital of the world?
Please respect another person.
Just to wrap up, DG, now, for how long will this ban last, just briefly?
Until that man changes his attitude.
Never!
Pastor Stephen Anderson had to be deported back to the United States this afternoon. He was earlier barred from entering South Africa. Botswana has not made it clear why Anderson is a prohibited immigrant. The pastor faced heavy backlash from the LGBTI community in Botswana. Now, Anderson apparently arrived in the country on Thursday. These are the exclusive pictures with ANN7 where the pastor can be seen sitting at a radio interview in a radio channel that is called Gabs FM. Now, the pic also shows security officials sitting in the reception area while the pastor speaks to the radio. It was after this interview that he was asked to leave the country.
You spew hate speech. That's what some people have been saying.
Well, they said the same thing about Jesus. They called Jesus the devil. They called him Beelzebub. And, you know, they killed him for a reason because they did not like him. And Jesus said, if they hated me, you know that they will hate you also. Pastor Stephen Anderson here with Faithful Word Baptist Church in Tempe, Arizona. And I just wanted to make a real quick video just about what a great victory we had in Botswana. Of course, I'm not there anymore because I was deported, but you know, everybody else is still there. I mean, by the time I left, there were well over 100 people that had already been saved. And you know, they're still going strong over there. I'll be shocked if it's not, you know, hundreds and hundreds of people by the time they're done over there. But not only that, this whole thing where I went on the radio and all the media showed up and I ended up, you know, getting taken out of there by immigration officers and deported from the country as a result of that radio interview, that actually worked out great because, I mean, that went just so viral that just everybody heard about it. I mean, that's just great that people over there are hearing the truth, they're hearing the word of God, and the majority of the people are on my side over there.
Hey everybody, Pastor Stephen Anderson here with Faithful Word Baptist Church in Tempe, Arizona, to give you the latest update on what's going on in Botswana. So far, of course, I was deported. Brother Garrett Kirschwe has now been deported. Also, two of the other people that were in our group, Brother Nar and Brother Rob were also deported from Botswana, and maybe one other person. So perhaps five, but for sure four have been deported. Now, a lot of the sodomites and other people are rejoicing and saying that we failed and that this soul winning marathon was a failure. But let me put it to you this way. If failure means winning over 250 people to Christ and also being able to get on the radio and literally get the word of God and our message out to hundreds of thousands of people through a radio interview that then went viral in the media and was talked about on the cover of literally every paper in Botswana. I mean, one of the guys in our group said that we were on the cover of seven different newspapers that he could see yesterday morning. So if getting 250 plus people saved and also preaching the word of God to hundreds of thousands of people and sending a shockwave through the nation and having half the people in the country at least agree with us. And, you know, while I was even being deported, people were cheering for me on the airplane and shaking my hand and telling me how they agreed with me and how they loved me. Even the guys who arrested me, you know, I got along great with them. You know, if that's failure, then I hope that every soul winning marathon fails. If that's failure, if getting 250 people saved and preaching to hundreds of thousands of people through technology is a failure, then bring on the failures.
What has the government done to me except beat me up, throw me in jail, taser me, and send $8,000 to a foreign country to persecute me? The last few months, I have been more persecuted than I have ever been in the history of my ministry or in the history of my life. And I'll tell you why. It's because for a long time, I was working a secular job and pastoring. But, you know, I've been full-time pastoring for over a year. And I've just kind of just ramped up everything that I've been doing because I just have more time now. So I'm preaching more sermons and, you know, we've been putting out more films. And just really working hard to try to get the word of God and just preach it because of the fact that our country is on a horrible course right now, downward spiral, and people are not preaching what needs to be preached. But whenever you ramp up your efforts for God, you have to just expect ramped up persecution. And I mean, I've been getting it from, you know, the IRS, the CPS, you know, I had some transgender freak, you know, come to my church service a few months ago that I had to physically cast out. You know, and then the police are coming and trying to figure out whether I assaulted this transgender freak when I picked him up and threw him out. But you know, it's the house of God. We can't allow these filthy perverts in the house of God. And you know, just all the weird stuff I've been getting in the mail, and the police pulled me out of bed at 11:45 at night a couple weeks ago. I mean, it seems like over the past few months, it's just one thing after another of just hate mail and death threats and people outside my church yelling at me and people smearing stuff on the door of the church building. And they want to intimidate you and they're trying to terrify you and put fear in you. And it's a persecution to stop. And look, by the way, you know, the CDs and the films that we do, I've gotten to the point now where the companies that have printed CDs for us for years are refusing. We won't print your DVDs. We won't print your CDs. And I have to call around to try to find somebody who's even willing to print the CDs and the DVDs because of the fact that, you know, we're getting to the point where if you're just a Bible believing preacher, you're just ostracized of this world now. And it's funny because I've had a lot of people say to me, hey, maybe you should just back down just a little bit. Well, you know, just why don't you just let off on the throttle just a little bit? And here's what they say. You know, aren't you afraid to keep preaching like that then? If all this stuff's coming at you from all sides. But you know what the truth of the matter is? You know who should really be afraid? Let me tell you who should be afraid tonight. The pastors who are holding back and letting these things stop them, and they're being intimidated by this faggot controlled mafia of, you know, well, that's all hate speech and we're going to shut you down. I mean, we had the congressman of our state, the congressman standing in front of our church, doing a press conference in front of our church building. This guy is saying all these hateful things and we need to stop this guy. Let me tell you something. The truth is hate to those who hate the truth. And you know what? This book now, the Bible, is being called hate speech now. Just saying what the Bible says, you're hateful and you're this and you're that, and they'll put all these labels on you. But let me tell you who ought to be scared. The pastor who's holding back and refusing to preach the word of God because it's not popular today, he ought to be scared of what the Lord is going to do to him. Scared of what man is going to do to me? I don't care if some Jewish congressman comes and huffs and puffs and everything and doesn't like my preaching, or some filthy faggots are going to line up and hold up signs and everything like that. You know what? None of these things move me. And you know what? I'd be afraid not to preach the way that I do. Because it's these bunch of compromisers that ought to be afraid of what the Lord is going to do to punish them for standing up and saying, I'm going to preach to you the whole counsel of God, and then holding back part of it. It's fraud. God wants us to preach the whole word of God. It's the compromisers that ought to be afraid. You know what? If we offend God, the Bible says in Luke 12, you don't have to turn there, but the Bible says in Luke 12, verse 4, and I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more they can do. But I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yeah, I say unto you, fear him. I mean, what can man really do unto us? If you think about it. Now go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. What can man really do unto us if you think about it? I mean, they can kill the body, but you know what Paul said? To live is Christ and to die is gain.
Anybody who's as loud and opinionated as my father is with his beliefs, they're going to have haters, whether you're right wing or left wing. If anyone who has a platform that large, preaching very polarizing topics, whether it's extreme left or extreme right, when you're going to have a ton of haters, just because when you're that polarizing with that large of an audience. So yeah, it was nonstop death threats and hate mail to the church and stuff. So that's been around my entire life, yeah.
I can't even count how many people have threatened to come and kick my whatever and beat me up and rape me and violently rape my children. I mean, we got an email recently where they went into great detail how they're going to violently rape each child. They'd name the child and then say exactly what they're going to do to that child.
Kill you and kill all the people that believe in killing the LGBT.
Well, enjoy AIDS, I guess, right? I'm willing to lose everything. I'm willing to give up everything. I will never stop. I don't care what the cost is. I will never stop preaching the Bible.
You say, Pastor Anderson, do you want to be a successful pastor?
No.
I want you to be a successful Christian. And so I'm going to be the kind of pastor that will make you successful in your Christian life. You say, will that make you a success as a pastor? No. No, because if I want to be a success as a pastor, I'd go as far like Joel Osteen or something. And I'd just preach only positive and God's so good. And we'd have all kinds of jiving music up here. And it'd be like a party up here. Hey, that's how I'd be successful as a pastor. I could pull up like the guy that's around the corner in the parking lot here who drives there's a church right in this parking lot. The pastor drives a Jaguar convertible. The license plate's God's man. He's driving a $75,000 car. Okay, that's success. I don't want success. I want you to have success. And sometimes I have to preach something that makes people get up and walk out. It makes the revolving door of Faithful Word Baptist Church just spin as people come and go, come and go, come and go. It doesn't matter, because you're going to succeed if you stay here and listen to the preaching and get it. And I don't care whether that revolving door spins so fast that people are coming in, going out as fast as they can go. That doesn't bother me at all. Hey, as long as you succeed, it doesn't matter if I succeed. It matters if you succeed. That's the kind of pastor I want to be. That's the kind of leader I want to be. I want to be like Moses and David. I want to be humble and little in my own sight. I'm not trying to get my name in some history book somewhere. I'm not trying to be in the Guinness Book of World Records. I'm not trying to be engraved on a plaque somewhere. One day, this body's going to turn into dust. And one person's going to be exalted in that day, the Bible says, when I'm rewarded for anything that I've done for Jesus Christ, Christ alone is going to be exalted in that day. And that's fine with me. He must increase, I must decrease. Hey, you must increase, I must decrease. That's humility. Putting other people as more important than yourself.
Hey, this is Pastor Major with Faith Baptist Church in Violet, Louisiana. I just want to put out a quick video here today just to explain why I have separated from Pastor Stephen Anderson.
We are, as a church, we're separating from Pastor Stephen Anderson and Faith Forward Baptist Church.
I'm making a video today to explain why I no longer stand with Pastor Anderson.
I am no longer friends with Stephen Anderson.
Shortly after marching to Zion, I was like, you know what? I don't want my name associated with this person.
I don't agree with Stephen Anderson on this. I don't agree with the way he handled the situation. You know, I'm leaving the church that I was currently going to. I've been going there about 2 years, Steadfast Baptist Church with Pastor Jonathan Shelley. You know, I just can't take it anymore. I am leaving that church.
So I just want to take some time to explain what happened and why I'm no longer friends with Pastor Anderson, why I don't stand with Pastor Anderson.
I believe that the new IFB has become somewhat of a cannibalistic cult.
Stephen Anderson should not be living rent-free in any of our minds.
We are going to reveal the NIFB board game. And this is an actual game. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another Kool-Aid Detox video. Hey, everyone. Pastor Tommy back again for part two. Tommy here back with another Kool-Aid Detox video. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Kool-Aid Detox videos. Hey, everyone. Pastor Tommy back with another Kool-Aid Detox video. Hey, everyone. Pastor Tommy back again with another Kool-Aid Detox video. So we were just having a conversation yesterday, and people were asking if I was going to do any more of these, and I was like, I don't really want to do any more. I prefer to just move on. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to another Kool-Aid Detox video. And I'm not sure that Kool-Aid Detox is the appropriate term for this particular episode. I think this one would probably be better be called something like to just helping you pass the paint chips that you ate. And I can only imagine how bad it is in that church right now after all these good people they've gotten rid of. And at this point, anyone that's still in there, I can't imagine. I said in the past, before I went there, I always imagined, you know, people eating paint off the walls when I went in there. Now, it's got to all be paint eaters. This is all they have left in that church. A lot of insanity coming from Faithful Word Baptist Church. There has been a fountain flowing deep and wide of Kool-Aid coming from the pulpits of Faithful Word. Let's watch Anderson serve Kool-Aid, and let's listen to his crowd just drink it up. Hopefully, I can help make sense of some of what's going on involving Stephen Anderson and the new IFB. Anderson is as guilty as the devil. I'm going to be doing a live stream discussing the rise and the fall of the new IFB. We are going to be discussing the rise and the fall of the new IFB, and everyone should be encouraging Pastor Anderson to step down.
I just want to sum up the entire year in two words. Two words for you, okay? We won. It's that simple. We won. And I got a Bible verse for this as well. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." God gave us the victory. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Numbers and the data just don't lie. I had 182 salvations personally, which is the most I've ever had for myself in a single year. Our church collectively had 10,000 salvations this year. Pastor Jonathan Shelley, his church, Steadfast Baptist Church, collectively over 14,000 salvations. We got, of course, Straight Paths Baptist Church, Springcrest, Anchor Baptist, Sure Foundation. I mean, there's all these great churches. NIFB, we're talking like over 30,000 salvations. But Faithful Word did missions in 22 foreign countries this year, 45 foreign cities. The cruise missions trips alone yielded 1,778 salvations. We had 54 members of our church actually go to the mission field, which is an all-time record. And the most amazing thing about all this is that we did this in the wake of the worst persecution and setback that our church has ever experienced, which happened in the fall of 2024. Major church split. We lost 95 people and dealt with all the slander and garbage and persecution. And yet, it's like they never even left because our attendance is back where it was before that happened. The XNIFB, there's no data reported. So I don't know. I can't really compare because there's no data reported. They're probably saying, you won? Well, it ain't over yet. Let me tell you why it actually is over. Because no one can ever take away from us what we already accomplished this year. And we accomplished more in this year than a lot of y'all are gonna do in your entire lives. And no one can take away what we've already done. Those souls are going to heaven, and no man can pluck them out of Christ's hand. So yeah, it is over, and we won. And they think that their little movie is just gonna just sink our battleship. Sorry, folks, it's too little, too late. You are, as always, Paul Wittenberger, a day late and a dollar short. And let me tell you something, my friend. We won. It's over. And I don't care what happens tomorrow. I don't care what happens. I don't have to hang my hope on some pipe dream of the future. You know what? I can walk out into that lobby and I can fall over dead right now and say this was the greatest year ever. And nobody can ever take that away from us, what we achieved, and all the souls that have been saved, and all the works that have been done. I say, praise God. And you know what I say? Next year, let's do it again.
What's up, man? How you doing?
Pretty good. You a citizen?
I'll tell you what, man. I'll answer your question if you can answer mine.
What is that?
You guys are part of the Homeland Security Department, right?
Sure.
So the head of Homeland Security is Janet Napolitano.
Yes.
Is that really a man impersonating a woman, or is that really a woman?
I don't know.
You don't know?
No.
You guys don't know either?
No.
All right. Well, I guess I can't help you with your question then.
All right. Have a good day.
All right. See you later. Not too much of a shock there.
We were driving down this Priest Road, and I've heard people criticize the name of Priest Road. And I said, well, wait a minute, I'm a priest. You know, and I've had people ask me, are you a priest? And I always say, yes, my son.
And if you don't like that term, piss against the wall, then you know what? Go to the bookstore this afternoon and buy a new King James. It'll take out that word. It'll take out the word damnation. It'll take out the word hell about half the times. It'll take out the word Jehovah, the name of God. It'll take out anything in the Bible that has any power to it. It'll take out anything that tells you how things are supposed to be. But you know what? 400 years ago, pastors used to stand up and preach that a man needs to be a man.
Amen.
Not a male. Not the males. It's because the editors of the NIV pee sitting down. It's because the editors of the New King James, they all pee sitting down. I'm going to tell you something. I'm not going to pee sitting down. I don't care if it's Germany. I'm going to Germany in about a month. You better know I'm going to stand up everywhere I go.
And you know what they're doing all day? Watching TV, watching movies, and they're watching Jews and fags, Jews and fags, Jews and fags.
Quatwe gardene yardagum, theod cunning a thrum gethrunon, who the athelingus Ellen Fremedon, oft shaled, chafing, chafen a threatum,
fag Jew, fag Jew, fag.
Monogum magthum, meoda settle ofter, Edsere jorlisse den eirest werth feirschaft funden, heth as fro frigabed, welks and a walk num werth minum tha. And you know what? Let me tell you something. I'm sick of it, and I'm not gonna back down, and I'm sick of people not backing me up on this. And you know what? If you're not gonna back us up, then get out of here. We don't need your help.
Jews, 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 fags, 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 fags.
What are you coming up here to do? You want to come take over the service? Huh? What do you want? What?
I just want a prayer, Ed.
Get out of here.
Can I get a little grace?
No, you can't. No, you get out of here. Get him out of here.
Understand?
Drag this bozo out.
Oh, well, this isn't what it looks like.
My dad really liked Fia Barkov.
You know, the Bible's really clear on salvation. It's not based on how good you are. A lot of people think they're pretty good, you know, and yeah, they're going to get to heaven because they're pretty good. But the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. I'm not righteous, you're not righteous. And if it were our goodness that would get us into heaven, none of us would be going. Because the Bible even says in Revelation 21:8, it says, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and sorcerers and whoremongers and idolaters, and listen to this, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I've lied before. Everybody's lied before. So we've all sinned, and we've done stuff worse than lying, let's face it. We all deserve hell. But the Bible says, but God commanded his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so Jesus Christ, because he loves us, came to this earth. The Bible says he was God manifest in the flesh. God basically took on human form. He lived a sinless life. He did not commit any sin. And of course, they beat him and spit on him and nailed him to the cross. The Bible says that when he was on that cross, he himself bare our sins in his own body on the tree. So every sin you've ever done, every sin I've ever done, it was as if Jesus had done it. He was being punished for our sins. And then, of course, they took his body when he died. They took his body and buried it in the tomb. And his soul went down to hell for 3 days and three nights, Acts 2:31. 3 days later, he rose again from the dead. He showed unto the disciples the holes in his hands. And the Bible's really clear that Jesus did die for everybody. It says that he died not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. But there's something that we must do to be saved. The Bible says, it has that question in Acts 16, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And that's it. He didn't say, join a church and you'll be saved, get baptized and you'll be saved, live a good life and you'll be saved, repent of all your sins and you'll be saved. No, he said, believe. And even the most famous verse in the whole Bible that's written on the bottom, I mean, the reference is written on the bottom of the cup at In-N-Out Burger. I mean, it's so famous, everybody's heard of it, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And everlasting, means forever. And Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. The Bible says in John 6:47, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. So if you believe on Jesus Christ, the Bible says you have everlasting life. You're going to live forever. You can't lose your salvation. It's eternal. It's everlasting. Once you're saved, once you believe on him, you're saved forever. And no matter what, you can never lose your salvation. Even if I were to go out and commit some awful sin, God will punish me for it on this earth. If I went out and killed somebody today, you know, God's going to make sure I get punished. I'm going to prison or far worse or the death penalty. Whatever this earth punishes me, and God's going to make sure I get punished even more. But I'm not going to hell. There's nothing I can do to go to hell because I'm saved. And if I went to hell, God lied because he promised that whoever believeth in him has everlasting life. And he said, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. That's why there are a lot of examples of people in the Bible who did some really bad stuff, yet they made it to heaven. How? Because they were so good? No, it's because they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Their sins are forgiven. Other people who may have lived a better life in the world's eyes, or maybe even really they lived a better life, they don't believe in Christ. They're going to have to go to hell to be punished for their sins.
And let me just close on this one thought. One thing that I wanted to be sure and bring up today is that there was a question that was asked to Jesus by one of his disciples. And that question was this: are there few that be saved? That's a good question, right? I mean, are most people saved? Or is it few that are saved? Now, who here thinks that most people are going to heaven? Most people in this world are going to heaven. Yeah, guess what the answer was? He said, in Matthew 7, for example, he said, "Enter ye in at the straight gate." He said, "Because wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." And then he went on to say this. He said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." And so you see, there are people out there. First of all, the majority of this world doesn't even claim to believe in Jesus. Thankfully, the majority of this classroom claims to believe in Jesus. Okay. But the majority of the world does not claim to believe in Jesus. But God warned that even amongst those who claim to believe in Jesus, even amongst those that call him Lord, many will be saying to him, "What? We did all these wonderful works. Why aren't we saved?" He's going to say, "Depart from me. I never knew you." That's because salvation is not by works. And if you're trusting your own works to save you, if you think you're going to heaven because you've been baptized, or if you think I think you have to live a good life, I think you have to keep the commandments to be saved, I think you have to go to church, I think you got to, turn from your sins. If you're trusting in your works, Jesus is going to say to you one day, "Depart from me, I never knew you." You have to have all your faith in what he did. You have to put your faith in what Jesus did on the cross when he died for you, he's buried and rose again. That's your ticket into heaven. If you're trusting all the things, "I'm going to heaven because I'm such a good Christian and I do all these wonderful things," he's going to say, "Depart from me." And notice what he said: "Depart from me, I never knew you." Not "I used to know you." Because once he knows you, remember I mentioned this earlier, it's everlasting, it's eternal. Once he knows you, you're saved forever. But he's going to say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Because if you go to hell, it's because he never knew you. Because once he knows you, he knows you. It's just like my children will always be my children. When you're born again, when you're his child, you'll always be his child. You may be the black sheep of the family. You may be somebody who gets disciplined by God heavily on this earth. You can screw up your life down here, but you can't screw that up. You're saved. It's a done deal. And so that's the main thing that I wanted to present to you about the end times. And we do have just a few minutes for questions about either salvation or about the end times.